Good morning. Glad to see everyone here and glad to see any visitors that we do have. Glad to have you. We struggle sometimes with understanding God's timing. But what we need to understand is that God's clock is not the same as our clock. And of course, God knows what's best. We think sometimes we deserve what we ask for now. And we live in a world where we do get what we want when we want it sometimes. You know, you think about buying something on Amazon. You can get the package within 1 to 2 days. And if you live near an Amazon factory, you can get it the same day delivered. It's pretty amazing. We have grown up in a society where we want it now. Even Burger King's motto is, have it your way. And so we see why we have this type of attitude, but God does not operate according to us. He doesn't bow to us because, once again, God knows what's best. And on our part, we must be patient with His timing and take that time to focus on Him, to grow closer to Him. So this morning we're going to look at God's timing. And the first place we're going to look is God's timing in the plan of redemption. In Galatians chapter 4, starting in verse 4, what we see is the fullness of time. But when the fullness of the time came, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, so that He might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Fullness of time came. The time God chose to send His Son down to this earth was perfect timing. We know with the Roman Empire at its height, it built roads, better roads than what we have today, sadly, and infrastructure that really helped the gospel to spread. As well, we see a common language was used. That would have been Koine Greek. There was a common language, and that would help the gospel to spread. We see that the Jewish scripture had been preserved and spread. You had the law of Moses. It was preserved, and it was spread. It was taught to the people. And then you have the messianic expectation that was high among the Jews. Perfect timing. God chose the perfect timing to send His Son down here to be redeemed. There's actually a show, and I don't know what network it's on, but it has an interesting concept. It puts into place the disciples if they were here in the modern day and how they would handle things and what persecution would look like now. And it's interesting. I only saw a few clips. But we see that as well, Christ's death was on God's schedule. Romans chapter 5, verse 6. It says, "For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly." At the right time. God's timing. It was not rushed by man's expectation. It was not delayed by man's rebellion. We see at the right time Christ came and Christ died for all of us according to God's timing, not man's. It was not delayed by man's rebellion. In Acts 2:23, this man delivered over by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God, you nailed to a cross by the hands of lawless men and put him to death. Predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God. Can we trust in His planning? Absolutely. Because we see it was perfect timing. God has proven that He knows what He is doing. He has proven that. God, who is perfect in every way, God who created all of this. I mean, when I look at the human body, when I look at creation, it just blows my mind at how perfectly well our bodies work. Every organ working together, everything runs perfectly until man messes it up. Creation, everything runs perfectly. You have seasons split. You have fall, winter, spring, summer, and once again, just perfect in every way. And perfect timing. Yes, we can trust in his planning, but will you? That's the question you must ask. Because we know that God's timing is different from ours. God is eternal. We are limited. In 2 Peter chapter 3, starting in verse 8. But do not let this one fact escape your notice, beloved, that with the Lord one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like one day. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some consider slowness, but is patient toward you, not willing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. You know, we as human beings, we think in terms of seconds, minutes, hours, days, weeks. That's what we think about. We know that with us, we are limited. We have an expiration date. We know one day we will take our last breath. But God is eternal. God exists outside of time and space. If he existed within time and space, would he be eternal? No. He would have an expiration date if he existed within our time. But because he exists outside of that time and space, he's eternal. He does not have an expiration date. His delay is often mercy, not neglect. As verse 9 we see, but is patient toward you, not willing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. Some will ask the question, why hasn't Christ returned? Well, he is giving people time to repent. Because if you are in sin and he returns, that's it. You have no more time to make it right. He's giving us this time to repent. This delay is actually grace. Grace and mercy is being shown by God right now. Sometimes in our lives, God's delay is in answering prayers might be protection. Ever thought about that? When you ask for something in prayer and you don't get it right off the bat, do you ever think about maybe he's protecting me from something or from someone? His delay in giving us what we ask for is to change us or prepare us. You know, one thing that I learned, you know, I didn't get married until I was 31 years old. When I was 25, I told myself, I'm ready for it. But now that I look back, oh, I was far from it. I was not ready. And I had 6 years in between. And once you go to preaching school, you don't think about those things. You're busy. But now that I look back, I can say he was preparing me for what he had in store. Maybe to change us. To change us in a way to where we are fully mature. We are ready to take on maybe more responsibility with marriage, with a job that we wanted, that we prayed for. Whatever it may be, we need to understand and take a step back sometimes and understand that God knows what he's doing, because what we call too late, God is saying, I know more than you. Trust me. I know more than you. Trust me. And isn't that the truth? You know, I haven't even attempted to count how many hairs I have on my head. That would probably take me a few days. But God knows. He doesn't have to count. He knows. He knows everything about us. He knows what we think. He knows what we feel, what we say. We can't hide anything. Let's look at some examples in the Old Testament. Abraham and Sarah, as we see through Genesis chapter 12 through 21, they wanted a child. God promised that they would have a child, but it would be on his timing, not theirs. But what do we see? We see Abraham and Sarah come up with a little scheme. Well, you know what? I'm impatient. Let's do it our way. She gives Abraham to Hagar, her servant. And they have a child. But guess what that causes? A headache for Abraham later on. They weren't patient. They did not wait for God's promise. Joseph, Genesis chapters 37 through 50. Sold into slavery by his brothers. Sold into slavery by his brothers. And then he has an up and down time in Egypt. He has some rough times. He, once again, is innocent through it all, but he's thrown into prison. We see with Potiphar's wife. But he remained faithful. He leaned on God. Then we see at the end, he becomes the second most powerful man in all of Egypt, saving people from the great famine that was coming. Pay attention to Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. This is after he had revealed himself to his brothers. As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to do what has happened on this day to keep many people alive. This is Joseph telling his brothers, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. All the struggles were changing him, preparing him to take this position and to save people. Now, of course, God behind it all, God told him what was coming. God prepared him and showed him the way. Joseph showed great patience and even was rewarded for it, wasn't he? He got to see his father again, whom he's been separated from for years, and had some time to spend with his father before his father died. Got to be reunited with his family and moved his whole family to Egypt to live there. God's timing is perfect. God knows what's best for us. And let me tell you, I want what God has in store for me. Because if I was in control of my timing, let me tell you, back in the day, I was unorganized, I did not prioritize, I wasted time, and it was not a good time. It was chaos. But when I finally fully gave it all to God, it was well worth the wait. And so what does his timing do for us? God's timing tests and grows our faith. John chapter 11, verse 21 and verse 32 of John chapter 11. Martha then said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And then verse 32 of John 11, therefore, when Mary came where Jesus was, she saw him and fell at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. From their perspective, Jesus was too late. His timing didn't make sense. They knew he had the power but did not understand his timing. Lazarus fell sick, fell ill. And they sent people to Jesus telling him, come. Because they knew he could save Lazarus. But he took his time. And Lazarus would die. But Jesus had a perfect plan in mind. Going in the same chapter, John 11, back to verse 4. But when Jesus heard this, he said, this sickness is not to end in death, but is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified by it. It revealed his power over death. It strengthened the faith of his disciples and friends. And it brought glory, greater glory, to God. You know, we don't see too many people come. Well, we don't see anyone coming back from the dead today, do we? This would have been a very powerful moment. Christ brought Lazarus back from the dead. But this wouldn't be the only time. Would Christ raise from the dead 3 days later after he hung on the cross? This showed his power. This strengthened the faith of his disciples and friends surrounding. And most importantly, it brought glory to God. That was Christ's purpose for being on this earth, is to bring glory to God, to do his will. And it was according to his Father's timing. Once again, perfect. Trials and timing. James chapter 1, starting in verse 2. Consider it all joy, my brothers, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith brings about perseverance, and that perseverance have its perfect work, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. God uses time and trials to test our faith, to develop perseverance, to perfect our character. But we don't see it that way because of impatience. We don't see it that way because we want it now. We want what we have asked for now. But sometimes we forget that God has something better for us. And God does give what we ask for from time to time. He really does, and I have seen that in my life. But we look at places like Solomon, who God came to and said, hey, ask me for anything and I'll give it to you. Solomon asked for wisdom. What did God give him? Wisdom. There are times when God will answer our prayers, but it's according to his timing, not ours. We must be patient in times of trials, understanding that through these trials, through these hard times, we're growing. We should be growing. We should take the time we are given to grow closer to him, spending time in his word, spending time in prayer. Because what God has in store is far greater than anything we could come up with, that the world could give us. Yet for a lot of people, they don't wait. And then what happens? They make a mess of their own life. They make a huge mess because they didn't trust in God. They jumped head first trying to do it their way and not God's way. And that can make a huge mess of our life. So how should we respond? How should we respond rightly to God's timing? When he seems to delay, trust in patience. Wait in faith, not in resentment. In Psalm 27, verse 14, Psalm 27, verse 14, hope in Yahweh. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Hope in Yahweh. This is not passive laziness. It's not doing anything. It's an active trust. Praying, obeying. Paul jumped on to the Thessalonians because they quit working. They were waiting for Christ to return. And Paul said, if a man's not willing to work, neither shall he eat. When we trust and are patient, this trust is not laziness, that we're just sitting back, well, God will give it to me when it's on his time. No, we're called to do. We are called to continue forth, obeying his word, living for him faithfully. Because Joseph, he wasn't just lazy through his time. He was working. He was actively obeying God's law, being faithful to him. Joseph would have known the law. He didn't just sit around and wallow in self-pity, knowing that eventually God would save him. No, Joseph was actively searching and praying and obeying God. And even Abraham and Sarah. Yeah, they messed up along their way. They lied multiple times. They tried to have a kid doing it their way. But ultimately, Abraham would show that he had true faith by obeying God. When God came to him and said, hey, I want you to take your child, the one that I gave you, that I promised, I want you to go sacrifice him. And Abraham would do so, but thankfully God would stop him before striking the child. And Abraham proved to him that day that he had true faith, that he fully trusted in God and what he had in store. We must pray like Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, Luke chapter 22, starting in verse 42, saying, Father, if you are willing to remove this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. We should always pray that God's will be done, not our own. Because if we did it on our own, if we tried to do it on our own, we make a mess of things. Instead of asking when, Lord, say, let your will be done. When God's will is done, great things come about. Imagine if Christ at this moment decided, I'm going to do it my way. I'm not dying for these people. Oh, we'd be in a terrible position. But Christ followed through. He fulfilled his Father's will. And that was to die for us on the cross. When he does say, now, complete obedience. In Hebrews chapter 3, starting in verse 7, therefore, just as the Holy Spirit says, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me, as in the day of trial in the wilderness. What happened to the fathers when they were put in the wilderness for 40 years? They had disobeyed God. They heard what he commanded of them, but they chose to harden their hearts, and now they would not cross over into the promised land. They would die, and it would be their future generations, their children and grandchildren, that would cross over, not them. When God says, go, when God says, do, complete obedience. Acts 24, 25, but as he was discussing righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix became frightened and answered, go away for the present, and when I find time, I will call for you. Paul here used every opportunity to preach Christ, and even before Felix, the governor. He preached Christ. He preached righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come. He told Felix, and we see his reaction, frightened. And he told Paul, go away for the present, and when I find time, I will call for you. We have no record that Felix ever really took his words to heart. But boy, hopefully he did. Acts 22, 16, why do you delay? Rise up and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name. Here is God calling us. If you want to have your sins washed away, what do? Rise up and be immersed, calling on his name. When God says go, when God says do, complete obedience. Do we fully trust in God's timing? His timing's perfect. He's perfect in every way. He knows what's best for us, yet as stubborn children, stiff-necked people, we sometimes ignore what he calls us to do. Whatever factors may play into that, I don't know. Maybe it's our desire to do what we want to do. Our desire for sin. But let me promise you, if you just go and do as God has told you, you're going to see what he has in store for you is far greater than anything the world can offer you. Stop being stubborn. Stop being stubborn. And open your heart up to God and fully trust in him. If you're not a Christian this morning, understand what is in store for you is not great. What is in store for you is eternal punishment. Eternity. We're not talking a short time or a medium time or a long time. We're talking eternity. Forever. You will spend in eternal punishment, in hell. If you have sin in your life, if you are not a Christian, you will spend eternity in eternal punishment. But there's good news. Because of God's perfect timing, He sent His Son down here to die for you, to take upon Himself all of our sins and to take our sins far away. And 3 days later, He would raise from the dead and ascend back to the right hand of the Father and is now the mediator, perfect high priest. He did it all so that you would have a way to come to Christ. And now's the time. Why delay? And this is how you come to Christ. This is how you put on Christ. You must hear the word and believe the word. You must repent of your sins, turning away from sin and turning to God. Then you must confess your faith in Christ. But it doesn't stop there, as so many man-made doctrines tell you. You must obey. And obedience is to be immersed for the forgiveness of sins. Acts 2:38, Acts 22:15, and 16. But it doesn't stop there. You must remain faithful. You must continue to trust and obey. Or if you were a Christian and you have gone astray, now's the time. Why do you delay? Why do you continue to be stubborn? Trust in God. Open your hearts. Come back to Him. Be reconciled to God. Be restored to the church. Don't waste the time that you are being given here today, because you are not promised 5 minutes, a day, 2 days, weeks from now. We are not promised tomorrow. Make it right now. If you need any assistance, the church is here to help you in any way we can. Make it known to us. Allow us to assist you in any way, because we do love you and we care for your soul and we want you to go to heaven with us. So if you're here this morning and need any assistance, come as we stand and as we sing.